virtual couch.
Let's get cozy and comfortable and get ready to hear some enlightening, empowering, and inspiring talk on the virtual couch for Leticia on Leticia's virtual couch.
Virtual couch.
Hey, girl.
Let's go.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to Leticia's virtual couch. Today, let's wake things all the way up. We're going to talk about your favorite subject. Yes, love. Love and relationships. But you may not like me after the end of this episode because we're going to talk about love versus lust. You know why? Because a lot of people think they're in love and you basically have a soul tie. That's just what it is, okay? Those feel-good drugs, the dopamines and serotonins, and yeah, that's what you're feeling. Hate to say it, but a lot of us haven't really been in love when we think that we've been in love. And this episode, I'm going to tell you why and how, because love, to be honest with you, it's not a feeling. It is not a feeling. Love is an action word. It is a verb. So again, you may not like me too much after this episode, but that's fine. I still love you because it's an action word. I'm actively loving you. So please stay tuned after this for more. The information provided on this platform is for informational purposes only. If you ever find yourself becoming triggered, please refrain from listening. If you ever feel like you want to hurt yourself or hurt someone else, please dial 911 or report to your nearest emergency room. Thank you. Hey, you guys, and welcome back. Now, I have a short disclaimer. This episode is not coming from a judgmental place, so don't come for me, okay? I didn't send for you. Okay, now that is out of the way. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe one can find the one to grow more and more deeply in love at first sight. I do. I think that you can find the one at first sight. And the reason why, let me explain. I have the beautiful advantage and privilege to have a few married friends. And as for me, I've always been inquisitive, but I've always been intrigued by marriage. Like what brings people together to say, I want to do life with you? It's just so romantic. I love it, right? So I ask the hard questions, and I'm so glad that I do, because I've learned so much. And I know going into marriage that, of course, you don't know what you're going to face, because a lot of things you don't know until you get there. But I know I'm not going in with rose-colored glasses. And I'm not scared like I used to be. I used to be really fearful of marriage. Like, what? The same person forever? And no, it has to be the right person. And I know we've heard that all of our lives, but it just has to be the right person. That person that when you meet them, you're just gonna know, I feel. And so I say all that to say, every married person, I think I've asked this question, especially the guys, because I love asking the men. And the reason why I love asking the men, because usually men are given a bad rap of not wanting to be married, running from it, calling the old ball and chain. And that's not the case. I have guy friends who I can say I am definitely blessed to meet men like this and have men like this in my life. But they wanted marriage. They came marriage-minded, and it just taught me a lot. You can't force anyone to want marriage. They have to come marriage-minded. And a man, one thing I will say about a man, when a man is marriage-minded, ladies, hear this, they will make it known to the point of where it can be quite scary. And I'm just, yeah, it can be quite scary because they know when they met the one, I would say. And I didn't want to say that, but they know. They absolutely know it's something that they can't shake. And sometimes, and the most times from I heard, the men knew before the women did. So I don't know. It's some kind of communication that God is having with them that they're not having with He's not having with us ladies. But that's not to say that ladies can know too, okay? But they all said that they knew their wives when they first laid eyes on her. It was something that just jolted in their spirit. And I'm just like, wow. Almost every guy I've asked this question, they said that they knew. They absolutely knew that that was their wife. And I just think that's so romantic. Now, some of you guys know you fight it, but whatever. That's a whole nother thing. And, you know, whatever. If you're not ready, you're not ready. But most men, they, and the reason why I say, well, I'm not going to say the reason why I say, I think men may know for various reasons, but I don't want to get into that whole rabbit hole. I think men, a lot of the times, and this is my opinion, they've been out there. And so they know when they've come across something different. And I think the age factor matters too. I think the older you are, and the more tired you are playing the game too. I hear that from guys, like, they just tired. There's nothing out there. And they just see this one that's different from everybody else. And they want to lock it down because they're tired. So I hear that too. So yes, I do believe in love and first sight. I just think you have to grow more into it. But because love is a verb, I still stand 10 toes down with that. It is a verb. So in order to grow more in love and to where it's true love, my personal opinion, I think it has to be tested, right? That's how you know what you're made of. Is it made of aluminum or is it made of steel? And this is not to say that our relationship has to go, they have to go through drama. No. I think your relationships are going to be tested in areas, and we don't know until we get into those. And the quality of your relationship and the foundation that it was built upon, I think it is either going to survive or not. I'm just going to be honest with you. And so that's why I wanted to do this episode, because I think so many times we get love versus love misconstrued, but they both can feel the same way. So give yourself some grace. It can feel the same way. And then, you know, with technology, can you find love virtually, you guys? I think you can. I think you can. And I'm going to tell you why. Instead of having the pressures and having sex and all the other fanfare and streamers and balloons and fireworks go off, you know, that can cloud and that can make it an event that clouds everything. See, virtually and just talking on the phone and through Zoom, which the pandemic has forced a lot of us to do, it can allow us to really get to know people. And I think we've lost that. I think we've come to an era in relationships where we really lost getting to know the essence, the wonderful characteristics that we all have. Well, not all of us, but that a lot of us have that are essential and love, right? Okay. So this allows one to really get to know the good, the bad, and the ugly of people. And what sex does, it can mimic love. And it can lead us away also from the fundamentals of love and cause us to lower our guards and miss those good old red flags that can save and could have saved a lot of people a lot of turmoil, emotional turmoil, and sometimes even physical, because I've seen things happen that just gone all the way left, okay? Just for the sake, just for a couple of minutes of passion, okay? So, I believe that in this era, you know, what the pandemic has forced us in, and just technology in general, I think if it's used correctly, I'll say, because some people still don't know how to communicate even virtually, or choose to text versus calling on the phone, because that's a whole nother ballgame. We're in an era where people just text. How do you get to know people and communicate if you're not hearing each other's voice? And being able to ask questions and without texting and not knowing where the tone is and all that stuff that can make relationships more difficult than what they need to be. I think that we can find love virtually. People do it all the time. People get married from dating apps and just falling in love with their voice and who they are. And it, even people that they physically wouldn't ordinarily have been attracted to. I see it all the time, okay? So I do personally believe that people have sex too soon, which again can cloud the situation, making it appear as if they're in love and they're really not. They're really just high off of chemicals. And so many, you know, I look on social media all the time and you have people who just give bad advice, and they give bad advice. Of course, you can just have a platform and everyone has a right to share from their vantage point and their perspective. I think that's awesome. But I have a problem when their vantage point is toxic. And so now you're feeding people your toxicity when you need to be healing and being, you know, get on someone's couch ASAP. Then get on the platform and try to teach people, because the way you're going wasn't right. So why would you be giving advice to someone following after you? But that's a whole nother ball game. I just see it all day and it's so cringeworthy to me. So let's get into some of the chemicals that I just alluded to. We have dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, which are highly addictive chemicals. They feel good, so they're highly addictive. And you know, we have that pleasure factor about us humans that when we like to feel good, right? We are more inclined to become attracted to things to make us feel good, even when they're toxic. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But during sex, the hormone oxytocin is released. Oxytocin is produced in the hypothalamus and released during sex, childbirth, and lactation to aid in reproductive functions. Then there is the biochemistry of the orgasm itself. Research shows that during ejaculation, men release a cocktail of brain chemicals, including norepinephrine, serotonin, oxytocin, vasopressin, nitric oxide, and the hormone prolactin. Now, what happens when sex hormones are released? Secretions of the hormone oxytocin leads to rhythmic muscle contraction and ejaculation. The larger the release of oxytocin, the more intense the orgasm. And that's what a lot of you guys are addicted to. That feeling of orgasm, that wonderful feeling where all those chemicals are bursting, and yes, right? And you're associating that with the person that you're having it with. So you're not really in love with the person half the time. Sometimes it's the case, not all the time. But initially, you may be in love with those chemicals that I alluded to. And it just so happened that the person that you're releasing those chemicals with are there. So yes, you're pairing that person. I don't know if you've heard of the term classical conditioning, but it's a phenomenon in the field of psychology in my field, but I'm not going to go into all that. But basically, you are addicted to the chemicals, but because the other person's there, you're associating that with that person. After that, the nucleus accumbens, rewards us with a good portion of dopamine that we feel as relaxing pleasure. So that's how someone can become addicted to sex, because you're addicted to the pleasure, especially, and I don't want to go all the way into here, individuals who have mental health conditions, especially depression and anxiety, they can become addicted to sex because it can make them feel better. It can decrease depressive feelings and feelings of anxiety as well, okay? So that can happen. Now, I believe love does begin in the mind, not in the loins, like some people think. If you ask anyone in this society, they would say otherwise, right? The totality of a person's being can make us fall in love with them just by talking on the phone and never even having a physical connection or sex with them, because we are learning the person. And I think that's what true love is built upon, really getting to know the characteristics of a person. But initially, it's what we call chemistry. And chemistry, because what? The chemicals, right? We're initially attracted to people, you know, visually. We see someone, and then there's some chemistry there. I like how this person talks. We have some things in common, and chemistry can develop. And then from there, love can definitely grow over time. Can chemistry develop, say, online or just talking on the phone? And can that kind of grow into love? I think it can. The whole point when I say love is a verb, it's an action word. And just because you are talking to someone on the phone or meeting someone online, it doesn't mean that you can't engage in some love, some actions, right? You actually can. You can serve someone, even if it's you giving love of affirmation, hear the love language talk, sending gifts and supporting their business. So I think it can happen. But again, you see the action is there, right? It's also there as well, okay? Sex or lust can produce, again, very strong emotions. And that's what it was designed to do. Sex was designed to glue us together, to make us become one. And so that's why it's very difficult for some people when they break up. It feels like a part of themselves are ripping apart. And that's why it's so hard to move on for a lot of people, because essentially you are ripping a part of yourself from someone. That's why we just can't be doing it to everybody, you guys, because you're essentially ripping a part of yourself. So imagine if you are always engaging in this with different people. What do you think happens? I think we become a little bit fragmented, and some people become very jaded, because if you have breakup after breakup after breakup and you're always putting yourself through this emotional turmoil of ripping parts of yourself, love can seem like a very scary thing. Very scary. So we have to be gentle with each other and ourselves. And when I say be gentle with ourselves, is don't just give yourself to anyone easily. You know, and I know I can't tell you grown folks what to do, but you're gonna thank me in the long run. Now let's get into trauma bonding, since we're on chemicals and things of that sort. Now, this occurs when one or both are emotionally connected to each other's emotional wounds. Oh my God. Yeah. And this can keep one or both addicted, where they feel like they just can't get enough of each other. But this is so unhealthy. And these are the signs that you may be trauma bonded. Powerful sexual chemistry early in the relationship that often clouds your judgment, your sense of self, ability, or willingness to see the red flags. Didn't I say that before? Yeah, it's basically when you're with someone, you see all of the red flags of why you shouldn't be, and you're stuck. Yeah. You can't walk away. even when you know the relationship is unhealthy or abusive. Love bombing, stalking them online, over romanticizing or losing yourself in fantasies of your future together that are well beyond the stage of the relationship. So basically, you've known each other 2 minutes and you've already visualized yourself in your wedding dress. And that's not to say that's all the time trauma bonding, because that could just be like all those good feelings and you're just like, God, I wonder what it would be to be married. You know, us women do that, right? But when it's just to the extreme and you're really serious about relationship and you don't even really know the person just yet, can't stop thinking or talking about them. May even create opportunities to talk about them. And sometimes that's just giddy. You're just giddy and you really like that person. So, but you will know the difference. You put up with things you vowed you never put up with. That's a biggie. That's a for sure sign that you may be trauma bonded, because one thing that love doesn't take away are our standards. You can love someone, but you still have your standards intact. I can love someone as all get out and still show love in an agape way, but I still have standards. I'm not going to let anyone abuse me, but it doesn't mean I don't love them, and I'm going to still show love to them because love is unconditional. But you don't have to be unconditional when it comes to how someone treats you. So you may have to create distance from people, but you can love people from afar. You really can. And this is not to justify and promote anyone from staying in, promote anyone to stay in abusive relationships. So I'm not saying that at all. If there's any abuse, any unhealthy anything, you need to run for the hills. And that's just it. For the sake of your sanity, your emotional, and sometimes your physical well-being, okay? And I'm not going to say sometimes your physical well-being, because all the time your physical well-being, because even if it's just emotional abuse, it does take a toll on you physically. It does. So with that said, that was a lot to get through. When you're talking about love, you know, it's a lot, you know, but it's a fun subject as well. But yeah, so after this break, let's get more into what love is. I know we talked about all of the chemicals and trauma bonding, what love isn't, and all of that good stuff. But let's get to what love is. What does it look like? Okay, so stay tuned. I'll be back right after this.
Welcome to the Virtual Couch, where my girl Leticia hits you with the latest topics with her unique swag and spicy sauce that keep you wanting more.
Ooh wee, girl, you doing your thing.
Let's see if they can handle some more of that fire. Keep dropping them gems,
Leticia.
Welcome back. And so let's get into some things here. Let's dig a little bit deeper. What is this thing called love? This thing that just has us all tripping at times, right? Falling in love again starts with getting to know someone's core being. And getting physical too soon can cloud our judgment. It really can. And we probably can all attest to making some poor decisions in this area. I know I have. I can admit that. Transparent here, right? The problem is many don't learn from their mistakes and they go around again and again in a circle, or what I call a hamster wheel, thinking they're going to get different results. And we all know what that's called, right? Yep, insanity. If you're doing the same things expecting different results, it's called insanity. And that is kind of insane, right? When you're doing the same things and not changing anything in your habits, in your decisions, in your moves, you're going to get the same results. You just are. Okay, so what is love? What is this chemical in the brain called? Because there's a lot of chemicals that are at play here. I alluded to dopamine earlier. So high levels of dopamine and a related hormone, norepinephrine, are released during attraction. This is the first of the stages of love, or should I say stage of love? But there's few stages within the stage, well, the term love, right? And I like to call it the stages of love. So I was right the first time, I guess. Now, these chemicals make us giddy, energetic, euphoric, even leading to decreased appetite. And I think we talked about that earlier. Even when you are going through a heartbreak, you can also have a decrease in appetite as well. You can have insomnia. And have you ever been in love and you just thought about that person all day and you felt the butterflies in your stomach and you didn't want to eat because you were thinking about them? I've never felt that way. You're right. I have. So these are actually true, which means you can actually be so in love that you can eat and sleep. What? Yes, you definitely can. Okay, so according to a team of scientists led by Dr. Helen Fisher at Rutgers University, that's in New Jersey, you guys, romantic love can be broken down into three categories: lust, attraction, and attachment. Now, each category is characterized by its own set of hormones stemming from the brain. Now, let's talk about this thing called lust here. Lust, we are dealing with testosterone, estrogen, and attraction, we're dealing with dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, and attachment, oxytocin, and vasopressin. And now let's go further. Love can be, like I said, three different categories, and we all know what the lust phase entails, right? The googly eyes, the what I call sort of like the chemistry phase, but you're just lusting, and some other things go on at that stage as well, which can get us in some trouble because we haven't entered into other stages yet. So you don't even know the person usually in the lust phase. Okay. So let's talk more about the chemicals in lust. Now, lust is driven by the desire for sexual gratification. And we all know what that is, right? I don't have to spell that out for you. The evolutionary basis for the stems from our need to reproduce, a need shared among all living things. So, do you know what this means in a nutshell? You don't really have to have any emotions for anyone, nor any thoughts about them. You can really perform really on a physical basis. It happens all the time where one may be feeling, thinking they're feeling love, and it's those chemicals firing off again, and the other one, they just need to get a need met. And so that's why we have a lot of breakups and things kind of go south really fast because they haven't entered in the other phases. So through reproduction, organisms pass on their genes and thus contribute to the perpetuation of their species. The hypothalamus of the brain plays a big role in this, stimulating the production of the sex hormones, testosterone, and estrogen from the testes and ovaries. We know what those are, right? I don't have to go into explain that. While these chemicals are often stereotyped as being male and female, respectfully, both play a role in men and women. What that means that we both have both. Men have estrogen as well. And I was going to make a comment there, but I'm not. And for women as well, because I'm equal opportunist when it comes to giving the smoke. Okay. So as it turns out, testosterone increases libido in just about everyone. Now, I will stick a pin in that here. You may know some women that may have a little bit of this, right? And their sex drive may be just out of the roof. And I'm going to keep myself out of this conversation. So don't even email me and ask me anything about this. So I'll go on. The effects are less pronounced with estrogen, but some women report being more sexually motivated around the time they ovulate when estrogen levels are highest. Again, don't ask me any personal questions here, okay? So, dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin are all made in the hypothalamus, a region of the brain that controls many vital functions as well as emotion. Several of the regions of the brain that affects love, lust, and attraction shut off the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which includes rational behavior. Now, you know I have to go in a little bit deeper on this, right? So let's read that again. Lust and attraction shut off the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which includes rational behavior. Meaning, when you're lusting in that first attraction, all rationale goes out of the window. And that's why sometimes we can make some very unwise decisions when you're letting your body parts take over. Have you ever heard of when people usually, well, I even say this, I can admit it, that men think with their little head and not the big one on top? That's exactly what it means. And women, because you guys are going to get the smoke too. Sometimes you are thinking with the box downstairs. And I'm saying you, not me. Yeah, and it can get you in trouble. So I'll leave that there. So is this what some act, well, I'll say this. Is this why some act like wild animals when they quote unquote need it, unable to think rational and more disciplined in their thinking, not thinking of the consequences that could be associated as opposed to thinking more rational so they don't have to think about those consequences later, right? Exactly. So yeah, that's a lot. So yeah, you know, in this my podcast, I like to educate. And I know sometimes I go a little bit over, but I have people that tells me that they're glad that I have longer podcasts because they can drive to work with them. So I try to make it long enough because I want to get all my information in as well. I don't want to just be short to the point where you don't really get anything out of it. The whole point of my podcast is to educate you all on very pertinent subjects. And I think sex is a very pertinent subject, right? So with that said, let's take another short break and I'll come back. Okay, so please come back because I have a lot of more juicy sex talk and love talk for you. Okay, stay tuned. If you or someone you love is having thoughts of suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. It is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. You are not alone. Continue our discussion. Let's talk about attraction for a minute. Attraction seems to be a distinct, though closely related, phenomena. It's possible to lust for someone we are attracted to and vice versa. One surprisingly can happen without the other. See, that's why I think a lot of you guys get in trouble. You mistake the attraction and lust for love, and they just not it. They're not it. Although they are involved in the stages of love, you know, we can be attracted to multiple people at the same time. That's why that can happen. Because I am an avid believer, when you love someone, you just are blind to other people. Now, this is not to say that you can find someone attractive. And guess what? You may be a little attracted to someone, but that's basically it. It's basically on surface level, and it doesn't really go anywhere because quickly you're reminded of the person that your heart is just pitter and pattering for. So attraction involves the brain pathways that control reward behavior, which partly, explains why the first few weeks or months of a relationship can be so exhilarating and even all-consuming. What is that word, all-consuming, or phrase rather? Basically, your mind just can't get off of them, and that's where you're having the butterflies and everything is just all love. You're giddy. Every song that comes on the radio, you're thinking about them. You're playing love songs on your own playlist and so forth. We've all been there, right? And that just naturally happens because you are getting all of those chemicals that I alluded to earlier, and I'm going to go into them again. The dopamine, the serotonin, the oxytocins, and all of those other good drugs, right, that we produce naturally. Now, this doesn't mean that, those chemicals aren't found in the love, when you're in love, because they are there as well. This is just starting you on the trajectory of that. So, yes, dopamine produced by the hypothalamus is a reward pathway. You feel reward. These are also some of the same drugs that you released when you are spending time with loved ones, say for instance your family, vacationing. That's for me. I love vacationing. I'm like on a high when I'm on vacation because I love to rest, but I love adventure mixed in with that, which I do on vacation. What else? Involved in sex. And guess what? Another thing that a lot of us like to do, and we need to do it in balance, and that's why addiction can be formed here as well, and that's eating. Just think about your favorite meal or your favorite snack. And just think about how you feel when you eat it. You feel like, oh my God, this is the best thing, right? Exactly, because there are drugs associated with that food. So even the smell of it, you start to salivate and all of that good stuff, right? You probably are thinking about one of your favorite dishes right now. I know I have a few. And and that's why, again, to not be facetious, that's why people can form food addiction. They can be addicted to food. And then we are going down a whole path of other problems that can be associated with that. So yes, high levels of dopamine and related hormone, norepinephrine, are released during attraction. Those things are released during the attraction phase. Again, as alluded to before, these chemicals make us giddy, energetic, euphoric, and even lead, again, to a decrease in appetite and insomnia. Now, these things can also happen when you are enduring a heartbreak as well, right? Not the euphoric and not the energetic and not the giddy, but the loss of appetite and insomnia that can happen. And also can happen when you're in love. So just think about for a minute when you are really attracted to someone and you're thinking about them in every thought and you don't want to eat because you're just so giddy and happy. And again, these things can happen when you're enduring a heartbreak as well. And we don't want to think about that when we're talking about love, right? Let's leave that for another episode. So in fact, norepinephrine, also known as noradrenaline, may sound familiar to some of my clinicians out there, or those who are just familiar with PTSD and the fight or flight response. Now, it plays a role, a large role at that, in the fight or flight response, which kicks into high gear when we're stressed and keeps us alert. So over time, we have evolved, and this is natural. When we feel like we are in danger, typically, we have either a fight or flight, and it's not in this article that I was reading, but it's also another phase called freeze. That may sound familiar too. And there's another one that's not really talked about. It's called fawn, but we're going to leave those out for right now. So in PTSD symptoms, we have either fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. Now, I will include freeze here only for a particular reason. When we're talking about love, you know, you have some people that fight the feeling, right? when you are attracted to someone, you have some people who just run. And you have some people who freeze, where they just don't know what to do. And their thoughts are just, yeah, that happens. And you just have some people that they're just not into you. And that's okay, too. So if someone runs and you feel like you have to fight someone to be attracted to you, maybe they're not for you. Okay. I can't stress that enough, because I think some individuals put themselves in harm's way and just do so much damage to themselves for no reason. I'm a believer that there are people, there are someone that are, that's particularly for you, right? Everyone isn't for us, and that is okay. Why would you want to fight someone to be with you? You're setting yourself up for failure because, okay, say for instance, you get them. You're going to have to continue to fight them to stay with you. Why would you want to do that to yourself? I know I wouldn't. Someone has to come freely to you, right? That's just with anything in life. I know me personally, I don't fight anyone to love me. You're either going to love me or you not. You know why? Because I know I'm the prize, and I know I love hard, and I know I bring a lot to the table. Not materialistically, but emotionally, I do. And I've been told that. I have actually been told that, even from things that haven't worked. Like, you know what? You're a good woman. You're a good person. Because when you just know, you know, right? So enough of that tirade. Tangent, if you will. Let's go on. Brain scans of people in love have actually shown that the majority of the primary reward centers of the brain, including the ventral tegmental area and the caudate nucleus, fire like crazy. Isn't that amazing how our mind and our brains are structured and formed? Now, they fire like crazy when people are shown a photo of someone they are intensely attracted to. Wow. Compared to when they are shown someone they feel neutral towards, like an old high school acquaintance. I would say a pet, but some people are really in love with their pets. So I wouldn't even go there. So, but just think of something that you're really neutral about that really doesn't evoke any feelings in you. And so just imagine that. So finally, attraction seems to lead to a reduction in serotonin. Now, this is a hormone that's known to involve in appetite and mood. And also, you probably are familiar with this word. Serotonin also helps us to sleep. So you have some people who, you know, when the dopamine fires up and it gets us all giddy, the serotonin can put us in more of a relaxed state. Okay, so that was a lot, but I want to go on. I don't want to take another break right now. Let's talk about attachment. Last but not least, this is the attachment phase that keeps us attached to people in long-term relationship. This phase is important when we are in a long-term relationship. This is the thing that keeps us attracted and attached. And this is not the lust and attraction phase. Remember, that's in the beginning. It's exclusive to romantic entanglements. Here's that word, entanglements. I'm not messing with you, Jada. attachment mediates friendships, parent-infant bonding, social cordialization, and social cordiality. I don't know where I got the other word from. And many other intimacies as well. So just think, it's not just romantic. It also can be in friendships and things of that sort. So think about your long-term relationships and your relationships with your children. This is at hand there. This keeps us attracted and attached. And in marriages, right? Those long-term marriages that weather the storms, the ups and downs, the roller coasters. This is at hand that keeps you attracted. That's why it's important to form friendships with your longtime partner, because it sets the foundation for this. Because in friendships, no one is perfect. You're going to go through things, and although some people don't, I'll say, and guess what? Marriages don't always have to have roller coasters either. I know plenty of marriages where they say they really are, you know, problem free. But you know, one thing that happens when I ask how does it work that way, they all tell me the same thing, because I married my friend. So if there's issues in friendship, that's a problem. And I will say this, some friendships need to stay as friendships, because I have a lot of guy friends, and you know, some things are meant to be friend. You're meant to be a friend with someone. And as you can see, some of those issues come when you try to cross over into other territories and you see, no, that person was just a friend. Or sometimes you see who they really are. That's another thing too. But enough of that. The two primary hormones in attachment are oxytocin and vasopressin. And you heard of those earlier. Now, oxytocin is often nicknamed the cuddle hormone for this reason. Like dopamine, oxytocin is produced by the hypothalamus and released in large quantities, again, during sex, breastfeeding, and childbirth. This may seem like a very strange assortment of activities, not all of which are necessarily enjoyable, because I don't think childbirth is enjoyable from what I've heard. But the common factor here is that all of these events are precursors to bonding, okay? Now, it also makes it pretty clear why having separate areas for attachment, lust, and attraction is important. We are attached to our immediate family, but those other emotions have no business here. And let's just say there's people who have muddled this up now, okay? Like I said before, sometimes people are meant to be friends only and not to cross over, and that's why we have a lot of those issues, okay? So yeah, let's take a break here, and when I come back, let's talk about when love also hurts. I kind of alluded to it before, and you know, we can't talk about love without talking about some of the negative and downsides of it, because it just comes with the territory. Love is a gamble. That's why some people are activated by the fight or flight, because their mind goes back to a time when it actually hurt them. And that's just normal. That's our normal body reaction, our normal brain reaction that is there to protect ourselves from danger. But it's either you go in and you swim those treacherous waters, or you wind up not ever experiencing what love can actually be. We just have to make right decisions in who we pick, right? So that's the only thing. So yeah, let's come back and talk about that some more. Okay, stay tuned.
How'd it go last night?
Well, okay.
Just okay? Must have gone pretty well. You didn't get home until the middle of the night.
I went for a walk so I could sort some things out that was in my head that I was tripping on.
Like the fact that you're still in love with Jacqueline, right?
Angela. I saw the woman, and a bunch of stuff that was in me I didn't even know was still there came out. Things happen, and there's certain things you just have no control over, right?
Really? Like what?
Like love.
Love? You know, what do you know about love? What do you possibly think you know about love? You know, I'm sick and tired of men using love like it's some kind of disease you just catch. Love should have brought your ass home last night.
Didn't you just hear me say I was sorry?
I heard you say you're sorry. You're sorry and you're tired. You don't love me. You don't love Jacqueline. You only love your damn self.
How could you say I never cared about you? You know, Jacqueline says that I'm a better person now, and I know I owe that all to you.
I'm out of here. I'll get the rest of my things later. Let me just tell you one more thing. I might not be all glamorous, and I don't have hair weaved all down my back, but let me tell you one great thing about me, all right? I've got heart. And you know the bad thing about having heart, Marcus? Is that it gets broken when you deal with people like you. Now stay the fuck out of my life!
Y'all enjoy the break? Now find your spot on the virtual couch.
and get ready to hear our girl Letitia drop some more gems on ya. Drop some more gems on them, Letitia.
Letitia, drop some more gems on them.
Welcome back. Boomerang is like one of my favorite movies, if you didn't know. Like, it's in the top five, actually. That's like my favorite movie. I can watch it over and over again. But that clip, it said so much. Love can hurt. You know, usually, that's usually how we know that we were in love with someone, because you can have someone leave, and if you didn't really love them, you're like, okay, bye. But it's the one that you love that really gets to you. And I've talked to men, because I think men and women are different. I think a lot of times women, they can make someone be more than what they are, I'll say. What do I mean by that? I think women are shaped and groomed as children to want love. You know, playing with the dolls, aspiring to be married, dreaming of being married to their prince, whereas boys are playing with dumpster trucks. So this is what I hear from men. When a man loves, he loves hard, and it really hurts him. And sometimes it takes a long time for them to get over that person. And yeah, but a lot of them say they want love again, but you know, they won't love again, rather. But they will, and I'll tell you why. A lot of them feel that way because they haven't met the one who they love. You know, men usually heal through bodies. What does that mean? They usually try to get over their love through multiple women, and they don't know that it actually hurts them more in the end, because now they're fragmented all over the place, giving their precious jewels to someone. Because see, men are not taught to protect themselves as well. You know, when you're sleeping with women, woman after woman after woman, you are draining yourself of your precious seed. And I don't want to get into all that, but it's actually true. And that's why sometimes men can be very jaded, and they look at women as objects. But I'm an avid believer, because I've seen it time and time again that they'll love again. And some, they fight it. But usually I will say this. When a man is in love, he can't fight it for too long. What I will suggest is to leave those that you don't have any intentions with alone, because it not only damages you, but it damages them as well. A lot of men, they know what it is. Well, I'm not going to say a lot. Most men, you know what it is when you get into it. You know that this person is not going to be a long-term person. And so sometimes what men do to keep from being lonely, and that's why I said mental health have to be intact, you just keep someone straggling along when you know that you're not going to do anything with them. You just have them around because you're nursing your wounds. So it's important to have your mental health intact and get healed. And because what you're doing, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting other people, who in turn hurt others, and the cycle continues. It's perpetuated time and time again. And I do believe in what you reap is what you sow. So when you're going out there with bad intentions and you're not being honest with what you want, it comes back on you. So that's why some of the times you feel jaded too, because then you're going to really be in love with someone and that person's going to hurt you. So if you want your slate clean, today's the day. Do right by people. I am a proponent of just doing right by people, okay? And that's why I have the blessings that I have. I don't intentionally hurt anyone. And if I do, I know how to make amends and apologize and move on, okay? So let me get off of my soapbox for a minute to get right back on to talk about love hurting, okay? You heard that clip from Boomerang, and Halle Berry was hurt. And that's what Eddie Murphy was doing. He was being a dog out there playing, and you know, he played with so many women that he finally got played, you know. Robin Givens' character played him, and in the process, though, and I'm glad they inserted this, he fell in love. He fell in love with Halle Berry's character. But one thing that I loved about her character, she was like, look, and it and back up a little bit, it made her cold because she was a sweetheart, sweet, kind of goofy. But she had another side. It kind of reminded me of me, actually. I'm sweet, goofy, but don't try to play me. Like, seriously. And he saw that part of her, and she basically said, look, love should have bought your home last night. And it kind of made her jaded, but that's what happens. You know, you can turn sweet individuals into these hard, cold, jaded individuals, but you have to refuse to do that. You have to just leave people alone, because then you can mess around and miss out on the person who actually knows how to treat you. Okay? And I am a believer that everyone isn't for you. Stop trying to force circles into squares and squares into circle. There is somebody who absolutely want everything, and it doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. Although some of you, look, I'm just going to keep that there. Seek therapy. There are so many people that are trying to get into relationships to gain something. And if you're going in with that, you already have lost the game, because marriage, relationships, covenants are what you can give. Okay? And if both parties do their parts, then no one will leave empty-handed and jaded. So yes, love isn't always going to be rosy, although it can feel amazing. But that can be the whole story. Love is often accompanied by jealousy, erratic behavior, and intentionality, along with a host of other less positive emotion. And not intentionality, I meant irrationality. Because intentionality is what you actually want, right? No, irrationality is basically when you're being irrational. You're not thinking straight. And that's why I say some people are just not emotionally ready and stable for a relationship, because they need to look down deep down inside and see what's going on with them. And it doesn't matter if the partner is amazing or not. They're going to take that from relationship to relationship to relationship. And no one's going to work, because they are not even working with themselves. I'm just being honest with you, okay? So it seems that our friendly cohort of hormones is also responsible for the downsides of love, like I said before. So your dopamine, for instance, is the hormone responsible for the vast majority of the brain's reward pathway. And that means controlling both the good and the bad. We experience surges of dopamine for our virtue and our vices. Ooh, virtues and vices. Wow, I like that. Virtues and vices. So that means your good things and your bad things, right? So, in fact, the dopamine pathway is particularly well studied when it comes to addiction. And I've spoken about that before. That's why some are addicted in the beginning. They think it's love, and it's not love at all. You're just addicted to the hormones that made you feel good, especially if you're a person who is bound by depression and anxiety. Sometimes anything feels better than what you're usually feeling because of that mental health circumstance, right? And so that's why you have to be very intentional and making sure that you are healed and that you're getting the proper treatment, because you just become addicted to anything that feels good. And that's not okay. It's not fair to you, and it's also not fair to the other individual, because when you start acting addicted, what happens? You started craving, and you just start doing things that are very irrational. That's that word again, irrationality. See? So you definitely want to make sure you are healed and whole. And yeah, and being the best that you can be, because when I say heal and whole, you know, no one is 100%, but for the most part and most days, how are you? And are you always leaning on someone to give you what you should be giving yourself? That's when you know there's an addiction there, when you're looking for that high, that rush. You see this typically when people are craving sex all the time. And I know in this era that we're in, we have people that usually say, well, I just love sex. Usually it's something deeper. Usually it's something deeper. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're just not going to do that with any and everybody. You're just not going to expose and reveal everything to anybody. You usually have some kind of decorum. When people are expressing themselves through sex all the time, they're addicted to those drugs. I'm a clinician, and I know that you are, because you're putting yourself in harm's way every time you're laying down with someone, especially when you are laying down with people that you barely know, and all of a sudden you think you're in love. But that's a whole nother story. So The same regions that light up when we're feeling attracted light up when drug addicts take cocaine and when we binge eat eating sweets. And I'm not going to go there because I love sweets. I really, really do. For example, cocaine maintain dopamine signaling for more longer than usual. So let me read that again. Cocaine maintains dopamine signaling for longer than usual, leading to a temporary high. Wow. In a way, attraction is much like addiction to another human being. I'm going to pause there. There are some of you that are listening to this, and I know you can relate. That is not love, dear. You are high on dopamine. So go eat some snacks and leave that person alone that you're harassing. But anyway, similarly, the same brain regions light up when we become addicted to material goods, as we become emotionally dependent on our partners. Emotionally dependent. It's not good, people. You can become enmeshed with someone, losing yourself in someone. And if you're doing that, that's always a red flag. Also, addicts going into withdrawal are unlike love-struck people craving the company of someone they cannot see. Yeah. So doing the withdrawal. So that's why you see the people usually, it could be one or both, that when they go through withdrawals. Now, sometimes one party is just wanting the sex, and sometimes people, you just have to see what it is. If somebody just craving you for sex, you know what that is, okay? And then you have another one who feel like the is something deeper, and that's why you have the issues, because love was mutual. You're not gonna have that pull and tug and pushing away and running away. You're just not gonna have that. It's gonna be mutual, okay? So dopamine, which runs the reward pathways in our brains, it's great in moderate doses. So moderate doses is okay. It's just when it's to the extreme, because this helps us enjoy food, exciting events, and relationships. However, we can push the dopamine pathway too far when we become addicted to food or drugs or people. Similarly, too much dopamine in a relationship can underlie unhealthy emotional dependence. Yeah, on our partners. Let me read that again for the people in the back. Too much dopamine in a relationship can underlie unhealthy emotional dependence on our partners. And while healthy levels of oxytocin can help us bond and feel warm and fuzzy towards our companions, elevated oxytocin can also fuel prejudice. Now, what do you think about that, right? So too much of anything, you should already know this, people. Too much of anything isn't healthy, okay? Yeah, so too much of anything, I'll say that again, is not healthy, okay? Yeah, so these positive feelings are taken into extreme a lot of the times, and it can cause the user to dissociate from his or her environment and act wildly and recklessly. So that happens, you know, when we have too much of these chemicals as well, you know? So, furthermore, let's talk about oxytocin's role in bonding. Oxytocin's role as a bonding hormone appears to help reinforce the positive feelings we already feel towards the people we love. So oxytocin just create a stronger bond. That is, as we become more attached to our families, friends, and significant others, oxytocin is working in the background, reminding us why we like these people and increasing our affection for them. Now, while this may be a good thing for monogamy, and we know what monogamy is, right? One person. Such associations are not always positive. For example, oxytocin has been suggested to play a role in ethnocentrism. Wow, that's a big word. Increasing our love for people in already established cultural groups. Wow, and making those unlike us seem more foreign. So what that's saying is oxytocin is responsible for liking people who are more like us culturally, okay? And looking at other people who are outside of that as foreign and unattractive even. Thus, like dopamine, oxytocin can be a bit of a double-edged sword. And finally, we would love without embarrassment. What we love without embarrassment, right? So sexual arousal appears to turn off regions in our brain that regulate critical thinking, self-awareness, and irrational behavior, including parts of the prefrontal cortex. Let me read that again. Sexual arousal. Okay. And we all want that, right? Appears to turn off regions in our brain that regulate critical thinking, self-awareness, and rational behavior, including parts of the prefrontal cortex. So, in short, love makes us dumb. Sexual arousal makes us dumb. So that's why you have people who can have the one-night stands and they just live in fantasy world, not looking at what they're doing to themselves. A lot of the times they're being used. And I'm not talking about people, but I am talking about you, you know, because you have to make more rational decisions when we get older, because our prefrontal cortex, is more developed as we age. I think by the age of 25 is at its full development. So with that said, you shouldn't still be making the same mistakes that you were as a teenager. You just shouldn't be, especially when you have children that can be victims of your decisions. Okay, so basically, have you ever done something that you regretted later? You know, probably not, but I know I have. And there's just certain things that I just wouldn't do anymore because of the consequences. And as you get older, you have more responsibilities, right? And other people that can be affected by those. In an article I was reading, it alluded to this Shakespearean couple. And as you know, if you're a thespian, we're speaking of Romeo and Juliet and what they did, being in love. You know, they committed suicide, right? As a couple. And so that has happened in real life. And so, you know, people who feel distraught after a love loss, they can do some horrific things. And so that's why I said we have to make better decisions so that you're not, you know, overdose on all of these good feeling drugs, and then it can just take you into a world that you just don't want to be in, okay? Love can be both the best and worst thing for you. It can be the thing that gets you up in the morning. Have you had that where you're high on life, you love someone, and you just want to spend the rest of your life with them? Yeah. Or it can make us not want to wake up again, as I just alluded to previous to this. I'm not sure I could define love for you, because I think it's depending on you, but we have some core things that we can kind of say love is and what love isn't. For one thing, I know love isn't lust. And so let's talk about why love isn't lust. So lust wants us to feel good. It just wants what it wants. It wants to be fed when it wants to be fed. It isn't satisfied into hungry again. So what I tell people, and look, we're adults, you can do what you want to do, but do you know when someone is lusting over you and you're feeding that lust by maybe even posting thirst traps? You're feeding lust. You may feel good because you think that person is desiring you, which they may be desiring you at that moment, but you won't be the only one that they desire, because you're not even feeding anything deeper than that. Because lust wants what it wants. And to my next point, lust doesn't discriminate, meaning that just because you have a thirst trap, when they turn the page, someone else does. And so they'll be feasting off of that as well. So you're really doing more harm to yourself when you're doing those things. Lust isn't loyal. It can be fed anywhere by anyone, long as it looks good, right? In short term, love cannot endure hardships. As soon as the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Lust doesn't do that. Lust does compromise. It wants what it wants. It's selfish. And it fizzles quickly. So you can be high on one and then, look, the next best thing come around and you're one day old bread. So why would you want to feed that? Lust is about feelings. And we all know that feelings are fleeting, right? Meaning that they come and they go. They come in on the shore, they go back into the ocean. And lastly, and these are my opinions and from what I've seen, and I think I have some good experience under my belt, practicing and personally, right? Lust is destructive to self and others, as I stated before, and I gave you an example of that. And that's why we have those shows like Snapped and Fatal Attraction, and I'll leave that there. You know, lust can make you do some crazy things, right? But love is the opposite of all those things. And when I come back, I want to talk about or basically compare what infatuation versus love is. And then I'll close on that because I think we had enough. And go out there and love somebody, okay? And so, yeah, when I come back, let's talk about infatuation. Infatuation can basically lust, okay? We'll talk about infatuation versus love. So please stay tuned.
Crush versus love. Signs of infatuation that you may confuse with true love. It happened suddenly. The moment you met them, you knew your life will never be the same again. And now your heart soars every time you look at them. You stay awake at night thinking about them. You can't focus on anything else, and you spend every hour daydreaming about them. Are you in love, or is it just a crush? It can be confusing. When we meet someone special, our emotions can become very messy. As our hearts start beating faster and faster, we start wondering if we have a crush on someone or if we are falling in love with them. Is there even any difference between infatuation and love? How can you tell the difference? And does it even matter? In this video, we are going to take a deeper look at the difference between being infatuated with someone and being in love with that someone for real. What is infatuation? A crush or infatuation is a short-lived attraction towards someone. You feel very passionate about that person as you feel they are perfect. You feel anxious and worried that you might lose them. You feel very excited around your crush and feel intense emotions that go haywire. Infatuation is usually based on someone's physical appearance or behavior and constantly craves physical interactions. Most crushes are sudden, and our behavior completely changes around our object of desire. What is love? When you deeply and strongly care about someone without feeling the need to own them, then it's love. In essence, love is unconditional. You feel peaceful and your emotions are steady when you are in love. Love is not bound by time and continues even when the person is not with you anymore. You support them and stand by them in both good and bad times. You help them grow because it makes you happy. You know they are not perfect, and yet you love them for all their flaws and uniqueness. Infatuation versus love. The intensity of your feelings for the other person can spell the difference between love and infatuation. Although both can feel very passionate, intense, and enjoyable, you will do a lot more for the person you love than for your crush. Love is real. Crushes always end. Infatuation may come to an end by transforming into true love. However, this rarely happens. Infatuation is an intense desire for a short time, while love desires a profound connection which lasts forever. Six signs of infatuation that can be confused with love. So how can you know if you are infatuated with someone or if you are really in love with them? Are you confusing love with a crush? Some of the signs of infatuation are closely similar to love. Here are six signs of infatuation that you are confusing with real love. Sign number one, intense feelings. You become crippled with intense passion and emotions when infatuated with someone. The intensity of your feelings can hit you right at the pit of your stomach, making you feel sick. When in love, your feelings unfold slowly. You may still feel passionately for them, but it never makes you feel insane or overwhelmed. Love soothes you. It makes you calm, composed, and settled. Sign number two, possessiveness. Infatuation makes you want the object of your desire. You want to own them. You feel insecure and jealous when your crush gives attention to someone else. You want their undivided attention all the time. Infatuation binds. Love makes you feel insecure about yourself. You don't wish to possess the person you love. You only want them to be happy. As you are not scared to lose them, you give them space to thrive in life. Love liberates. Sign number three, anxiety. Infatuation fills your heart with fear and anxiety of losing the person you desire. You overthink and worry about even the smallest actions and words of your crush. You are always preoccupied with recurrent thoughts about them. You forget about yourself. In love, fear doesn't exist. You are not afraid to lose them. Love is not about physical connection, and so physical separation does not affect your feelings. Regardless of what they say or do, or where they are, you love them anyway. True love is an extension of self-love. Sign number four, embodiment of perfection. Infatuation makes you believe that your crush is a personification of perfection. You feel they are your dream lover, an ideal partner. Everything about them, their smile, eyes, lips, personality, attitude, everything is perfect, flawless, and supreme. Love makes you realize that the other person is nothing near perfect. Nevertheless, you admire everything about them. You accept them for who they are. You love their beauty, their scars, their flaws, and their uniqueness. Sign number five, emotions go haywire. Your passion for your crush makes your feelings go haywire. When infatuated, you may become self-critical, lack self-esteem, and wallow in self-pity when your intense feelings are not reciprocated. Love makes you feel like an extension of the other person, and you are not deeply affected when hurt. You don't feel self-destructive or desperate for attention, as you have a profound sense of connection and understanding. Sign number six, insecure attachment. When infatuated, your emotions will be corrupted by insecurity, fear, and dependence. As you become insecurely attached to your crush, you are always afraid of abandonment and worry they have the power to hurt you by leaving you. In love, the other person is your biggest strength. Regardless of what they do at the moment, you care for them, wish them well, and pray for their happiness, whether they are with you or not. Are you in love? Love is long-lasting and is not dependent on the circumstances. When you are in love with someone, they become your inspiration, your reason to grow and develop spiritually. But it can be hard to find love. Love can make you crazy, but never insane. Infatuation can leave you worried, scared, and sad. Love helps you grow. Love takes time. Infatuation can be sudden. time can always tell the difference between a crush and real love. So, are you in love with someone?
Have a seat on the virtual couch.
Get it, girl. Let's go.
Okay, you guys, now we're on the home stretch. So I will be reviewing Infatuation versus Love. And that way, you can make a proper assessment of what type of situationship or relationship you're in. I think all too often, relationship is the simple fact that you're with someone, right? But I think when people say relationship, they're saying basically it was serious. And I really believe that a lot of people are in situationships, because if it's not defined, then that's your answer. Because love, you don't have to second guess where you stand with someone. You know for a fact if you're in love. And if you just compare some of those situationships with being in actual love, you know the difference. I think a lot of times we lie to ourselves and try to pretend that we don't see the signs that are smack dab in our face. You know, love is mutual compatibility, makes us better, makes us a better version of ourselves daily, help us grow. When you're with that person, you just want to be better. And it's not forced. It can't be forced, first of all. It's something that just organically happens. If you're forcing something, that's a sign that it's not your person, okay? So let's go forward. Let's start with infatuation. And I'll probably switch back and forth so we can be done with this, right? Infatuation, an emotion, versus with love, devotion. Infatuation, fall into. Love, grow into. Infatuation happens quickly. Love grows over time. Infatuation, temporary. Love, lasting. Infatuation, possessive. Love, freeing. Infatuation triggers insecurity. Love brings confidence. Infatuation, jealousy / unable to trust. Love, secure / trusting plus loyal. Infatuation weakened by separation. Love strengthened by separation. Infatuation seeking. Love giving. Stick a pin in that one, you guys. I think people get that one mixed up all the time. Infatuation, here's that word, lust / chemistry. In love, shared beliefs and attitudes. So that whole thing about opposite attracts, that's exactly what it does. It may attract, but it doesn't keep you together. I do believe that when you love someone, there has to be some shared beliefs. That's why you have people sometimes, and I'm not going to go into this, but you have people that try to mimic what someone likes and love, and that's not going to work, because then you have to keep up that facade and that charade for lifetime, and no one can actually do that. When you have shared beliefs and attitudes with someone, it's just going to organically happen, and you don't have to put up a front. And why would you want to anyway? That's torture for yourself to portray a person that you're not. I am one, if you know me personally, I am who I am, take it or leave it, because I'm comfortable in my skin, and there's someone who is going to like exactly the things that you like. That's just what it is. So stop trying to be something that you're not to appease to someone, because you are going to have to keep that charade up, and you can't. So they're going to find out you're a fraud anyway. So why be a fraud? Why be a fraudulent person to yourself? Okay. So with that said, let's go on. Infatuation, dishonesty. See, I'm just talking about that. You're dishonest. In love, you're transparent. So you have transparency. Infatuation, you have many arguments. Yep. And in love, you're willing to compromise. That is a sign right there. Definitely. Because, see, sex has no foundation. And so you really sometimes are having sex with people that you have no compatibility with. And most times you don't even like that person. You are, again, addicted to the chemicals. It's not even the person. It's just that person that you're sharing chemicals with. You're associating those chemicals with that person. That's just what it is. Sorry to bust your bubble, but that's what it is. Infatuation. Idealistic. In love, realistic. Idealistic infatuation means that you are in your mind all the time at what you think, and basically falling in love with people's potential and not what they're showing you. In love, you realistically love this person for who they are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. Infatuation, rush to marry. Love, ability to wait. I would definitely go into this, but I don't want to, but yeah. I've had this happen a couple of times, actually, when initially someone meets you and they just want to marry right away. It's like, red flag, no, you don't even know me. And I get it. So not to talk about, you know, any individual, but and then again, you know, just to go further, that's why I didn't want to touch this. But sometimes I do believe that a person knows that you are the one because they've had enough experience to know what the one isn't. And they know the silent prayers that they probably had and the list that they had and they wrote down, and you show up and you're the things on that list. So it's a possibility, but again, you're not rushing to actually marry. You may have it in your mind, but you're not doing what it takes, meaning you're not signing on the dotted line 2 weeks later. And that's another thing. See why I didn't want to touch this? Because there has been stories of people who've married quickly, they knew, and they're still working. Hey, you know what? If that's you, I wouldn't suggest it at all, because I wouldn't say that's in the majority. You know, there's people who are just addicted to the dopamine and they love the way the person makes them feel. And so they just want some more of that. Okay. But if you have a rational partner, the other half may say, hey, hold up. If you have two people, then hey, you may run into some disaster, but hey, who am I, right? And love, ability to wait. That's me. I'm a patient who's patient? Who do they say patient? Isn't an elephant? It was like an old wives tale or whatever, that elephants are patients, or they have whatever memory of an elephant, but I think they have patience too, supposedly. But at any rate, you have the ability to wait, because if it's real love, then it will stand the test of time. Okay. You want that to happen anyway, because you want something long-term, not just fly by the seat. You want to be able to see someone in all seasons. I know that's me. I want to see you when you're angry, sad. How do you handle disappointment? And if you're all over the place, fellas and ladies, look at their emotions. Are they all over the place? And if they are, just imagine being with them a lifetime. Now, this is not to say that we can have our weak moments, but look at the totality. I'm not going to lie, and this may sound a little toxic, but if I can have an argument with you and we can survive that, then I'm good. But because everything is not all roses, and how you argue is also important as well, because just because you have an argument doesn't mean, oh, that's the one. No. How you argue, how you come back from that, how do you communicate? And yeah, because in marriage, there's going to be some disagreements. And I don't even like to say argument, because I am a believer that you don't have to argue, right? You can agree to disagree. You can have a disagreement, but you don't have to have a shouting match with someone. And yeah, so I will stick a pin in that, because that's a whole new and brand new episode on its own, about arguments. And you can kind of see the maturity of a person and how they argue or how they disagree. Okay. Lastly, infatuation, anxious/unstable. I'm just going to laugh because I have a few people that come to mind when I say that. But I'm not going to blast them here because actually people like this actually blast themselves. but yeah, when you're just all over the place and I see people's just spilling over on social media and it's embarrassing. So lastly, love, you have peaceful and stable. That's me. I love being peaceful and stable. And if you're a person that's already erratic and unstable, you can portray peace, but peace has to be within you. And that's just what it is. You can't fake a peaceful and stable persona and character. You just can't. It has to come from within. And that's why I will end with this. Please go to therapy, people. Before you get into a relationship, please seek therapy. And with that said, you have a great day. And share this episode with someone. I'm pretty sure that individuals can benefit because we are going to be in a relationship in some form or fashion, right? So with that said, take care. Peace.
Wasn't that show fire? I hope you enjoyed your time on the virtual couch with our girl Letitia on Letitia's virtual couch. You did that, Letitia.
Letitia's virtual couch.